Hello, world. I'm Greg Patton. Stand by for news and stuff. Every now and then, a thank you here and a thank you there. We're so grateful, Greg Patton Ministries, for people just like you, those supporting this ministry and keeping it alive in more ways than one. A big thank you to Ron and Barb and Dorothy. How about Joey and Sheila? Dave, of course, and Yvonne and Preston. More than one Yvonne, actually, here. How about John the Man? Absolutely. First Free Will of Elizabeth in Tennessee. Thank you, folks, again and again. And Greg Patton's Blue Ribbon winner of 2023, Gary and Jackie, biggest financial supporters of last year to Greg Patton Ministries. Folks just like you. Keeping things alive. Another John here, and WHCB 91.5. That would be the Hills, Ken, Janet, and Matthew doing so much for Greg Patton Ministries. Thank you, one and all. Keep on praying, because we're going to keep on doing it right here at Greg Patton Ministries. What in the world is going on? How can he positively have anything positive coming his way? Yet he does. You know, polling can only tell us so much. It captures a moment in time that is what can be sustainable, or it fleets us like nightfall. It can also be wrong, or as we saw in the 2016 election, capture the most remote possibility ever. That said, it remains a big part or point, if you will, when it comes on how we view the state of any race. And there's no question they're now seeing a shift. This just seems impossible. A shift since the State of the Union in the presidential race. I know as well as anyone that typically the State of the Union doesn't have much effect on the race. Great opportunity for the president to seize an opportunity and say some nice things about himself and what he's done. But there usually isn't much of a change. They say it's different this year. For Sleepy Joe, the fake president, since he had the State of the Union, poll gains, multiple huge cash infusion, a campaign that's going to come because it's getting very tight. Oh, I could talk about this for an hour or two. What's the use? I'll tell you what. We may get what we deserve as a nation. Another round of Joey. I'll continue to say it. If that happens, we have lost our collective minds in America, and Jesus has got to be right around the corner. Joe and Kamala, what an absolute nightmare it's been, and it could continue. It's an amazing thing, but somehow the lefty loonies, the Democrats, stick together. Talk show host Bill Maher says he's committed to ensuring that President Trump doesn't return to the Oval Office. I'll do everything I can to make sure that doesn't happen, but none of us have much influence anymore. What I've decided to do, he said, is preemptively give up my nervous system to Donald Trump like I did the last time, or maybe the last two times. Mayor, who is 68 years old, says, hey, if he wins, he wins. The country is polarized, and this is so good. This is a good explanation of what's happening in America today. The whole thing is like a prison yard. You're either on one team or the other. Now, Mayer is promoting his new Club Random Studios podcast network, of course, and all the lefties love him. Those of us on the right, well, you know. Everybody says somehow they want to be in the middle, but there's no such place. You just go to your corner of the prison yard. The liberal commentator and frequent critic of Donald Trump, who's called the former commander-in-chief everything wrong with a human being stuffed into one man, indicated to Variety that he's trying not to sweat the outcome of November. So either Trump's going to win or he won't. And when he becomes president, either he'll blow up the world or put me in Guantanamo Bay. That's not a bad idea, or whatever's going to happen, but I just can't worry about it constantly. Yeah, if you were a Christian, you know what worry is sin, Mr. Mayer. He has said in the past that he's afraid of Donald Trump on a very personal level. The comedian said last year, I don't know what he would do if he gets a second term, if he's in the White House. I can tell you what he's going to do. Just follow the... Oh, brother. These people, I'll tell you what. And we, they're all over the place. They walk among us. Yep. I'm there already. Where is my... It's the New America? Of course it is. Columbia University. Columbia University is investigating a student event where speakers express support for Palestinian terror groups and encourage students to back armed resistance against the nation of Israel. The event on Sunday, titled Resistance 101, was led by Columbia University Apartheid Divest. That's a coalition of student organizations all coming together. The two lead groups in the coalition, the school's chapters, the Students for Justice in Palestine and the Anti-Zionist Jewish Voice for Peace, which have been suspended from campus for violating university protest policies. Yeah, what a group. Oh, that's, again, the New America. Red flag laws. They've been flaring across America. As someone can complain he or she has a fear of someone else, and a judge, without even contacting the target at all, can order his or her guns confiscated. Promoters claim it's a way to protect the public, but in reality, what it has done is forcibly disarm law-abiding citizens again and again. Yeah, those statutes so far have been based state by state, but that guy named Biden, in his war on self-protection, now has launched a plan for a national red flag center, which two experts have argued he didn't have the constitutional right to do. It doesn't matter. We're talking Biden's here. They do whatever they want to do. The crime syndicate? It is John Arlott Jr., chief of Crime Prevention Research Center, and Representative Thomas Massey, Republican from Kentucky, who've written at the Federalist that Congress, controlled by Democrats at the time, provided authorization for a president to hand out grants to states with those red flag laws, but never was he authorized to establish a federal red flag center. Again, he doesn't need any. He does what he wants to do somehow. My, oh, my. Remember when Obama sent $1.7 billion in cash over to Iraq? Congress, FBI, no one. It just happened, and que sera, sera. Somehow these people do what they want to do. Untouched. The left-leaning loonies get it wrong again, talking now about CNN and the anchor there, Caitlin Collins. She tried this week to lecture a pro-life doctor and a lawyer about the purported safety of abortion pills. She ended up getting an on-the-air fact check that didn't go well. The Supreme Court heard oral arguments in the Food and Drug Administration versus Alliance for Hippocratic Medicine on Tuesday. The case challenges the FDA's broad approval of mifepristone, one of the pills most commonly used in medical abortions, and the FDA's expanded access to that medication in 2016 and 2021. Dr. Christina Francis, an OBGYN and plaintiff in the case, and Alliance Defending Freedom attorney Christian Wagner, appeared on Collins' show there on CNN and dismantled her. First, Collins asserted without evidence that Dr. Francis had no experience treating women who had experienced complications from this abortion drug. Just to be clear, Dr. Francis, you've never had to go to the emergency room to do this, Collins told the physician. You've never been required to perform an abortion for someone who had complications from taking this drug, right? Francis quickly corrected her. I have actually taken care of women in our emergency room who have come in with complications, and I've had to do the procedures to finish removing the contents of their pregnancy from the uterus. Whoa. But not an abortion, is that right? I have been brought down to the emergency room to complete the process that was started by these abortion drugs, said the doctor. This is happening more and more frequently because women are not receiving in-person medical care prior to receiving these high-risk drugs because of the FDA's decisions. Oh, yeah, it got worse from there on. Yeah, how do you defend murder. Pretty hard to do, huh? So what's this all about? Ron DeSantis, the Florida governor, and Disney setting aside their differences and becoming friends? Or at least parties not actively suing one another anymore. The company and the board handpicked by the governor to run the special district where Disney World sits after Disney spoke out against the state's so-called Don't Say Gay law have somehow reached a settlement in their legal battle. The deal wipes out changes to the board's power and the company's development plans that Disney pushed through just before the new board was seated. Instead, Disney will move forward with an earlier plan to expand the theme park. In the e-commerce giant's largest outside investment since its founding, Amazon, you've heard of them, said yesterday that it's pouring another $2.75 billion, that's on top of the $1.25 billion it already invested, into Anthropic, maker of ChatGPT, a competitor to Claude. This is all the artificial intelligence stuff, and that race is heating up, of course. Artificial intelligence, one way or another, it's in your future. The centrist four-term senator from Connecticut, seems like he was around forever, talking about Joe Lieberman. He died yesterday from complications, a fall. He had a fall at age 82. As Al Gore's running mate in 2000, Lieberman was the first Jewish nominee for vice president from a major party ever. He mounted an unsuccessful bid for the presidential nomination in 2004 and was defeated in the 2006 Democratic primary for the nomination for his Senate seat. And the biggie, really, after retiring from the Senate in 2013, he helped lead a group called No Labels, which has said it intends to field a candidate yet in the 2024 presidential contest. Moving from the new to the old, huh? Japan's aging population is shifting even its diaper business. The big Japanese diaper company, Oja Holdings, recently announced it's going to stop producing those diapers for babies and they're going to start making adult versions instead, though it will continue making some products for the babies' behinds. The decision reflects what's been happening in the Japanese market for quite a while now. Since 2011, the nation's biggest diaper brand, Unicharm, said adult versions had outsold the baby ones. So, aging population there, huh? This is an unprecedented situation and a big deal. It's not a huge change in the Earth's rotation that's going to lead to some catastrophic thing or something like that, but it's something very noticeable. Feeling a little dizzy, are you? What are we talking about? It might be because the Earth is spinning faster than it used to. Okay, you really can't feel it, but to keep our clocks running precisely, we may need to have a negative leap second, where clocks will skip a second in 2020. Are you serious? Skip a second in 2029 to keep up. Oh, yeah, we need some things to do. What else is happening? Sam Bankman-Fried is going to be sentenced today for his role in the collapse of FTX. The government wants him behind bars for at least 50 years, while lawyers say 6 years is going to be plenty. Divers found the remains of two of six people presumed to have died after a cargo ship crashed into Baltimore's Francis Scott Key Bridge. They were in a pickup truck. An appeals court ruled that Texas' controversial immigration law allowing the state to arrest migrants is going to stay on hold while it considers the law's constitutionality. A federal judge ruled that the SEC's lawsuit accusing Coinbase of selling unregistered securities can now go to trial. And New York City is poised to, get this, levy a $15 toll for driving into certain parts of Manhattan after a controversial congestion pricing plan was approved. Trucks may pay $25 to $35 for the privilege of driving into parts of Manhattan. Oh, it's a crazy, mixed-up new America, isn't it? And finally, who said that? Maybe you, maybe me. January 6th is going to go down in history as the day the government staged a riot to cover up the fact that they certified a fake election. If we could just jail this Trump guy, get rid of MAGA, end the Electoral College, stack the Supreme Court with liberals, ban voter ID, and censor all free speech, we could save America. Really. And it's certainly the right time to be reminded of this one. The only cure for sin is the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Where is my Bible? Life 101, right after this important message. It's out there now. You're asking about it? Invisible War of the Saints, available at InvisibleWarOfTheSaints.com. That's pretty simple. Oh, you don't have a computer? Well, then you can call 1-800-652-1144. Get right through to SWRC, that's Southwest Radio Church, and order it. You can also go to SWRC.com and 1-800-652-1144 to get the 36-part television series of Invisible War and the Saints. So grateful to you. Many of you have bought multiple copies for yourself and others to share again how Satan can get into your life and interfere with your walk with Christ. Available today, Invisible War on the Saints. Well, I didn't talk about it at all this week. Palm Sunday, how was it in your church? Anything special happen? Palm Sunday, what was that all about? Tomorrow, it's called Good Friday, and the cross is looming. We know that many in the same crowd will, within a few short days, exchange those words of praise to words of death, just like Christians today. We want the victory. We want to shout Hosanna. Hosanna, and later shout, crucify him. Out of the same lips, crucify him. Yep, got to focus your attention there on both Matthew 27 at verse 15, but before that was Luke chapter 19, and, well, the whole story there of Jesus is coming into Jerusalem. You know, Billy Graham said it, and it's probably true, and we don't want to acknowledge it, my Christian friend. He was quoted many times as saying this, and I agree with him, the greatest mission field in all the country today is the local church, the people sitting in the church today. Now, many will question whether that's true or not, but I think it is. All those years I spent in revival across America, one thing I do know is that many people know what to say, how to say it, even how to act it all out, but when the Christian rubber truly meets the road, there's no personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Many in our churches today are lost. And you see a perfect example of this reading Matthew and Luke. Sunday, Jesus rode into the city with the people shouting praises and praising God for all the wonderful miracles they had seen. On Friday, give us Barabbas. That's Matthew 27. We want Barabbas, crucified Jesus. And there are many possible reasons, but one simple one is that the words did not match their heart. They possessed, unfortunately, like many of us, a casual instead of a committed faith. They had lots of religion, but they missed the person of Jesus. So how can we have a committed faith? How can we be sincere? Now that is an excellent question.
How do we find faith?
The first key is a real committed faith is not a self-centered faith. It's a Christ-centered faith. I think the beginning of all sin.
I say this about every time I speak anywhere in the country. I think the number one problem for you and me is selfishness. It leads to all sins. It's in our book, Invisible War on the Saints. We talk about it.
Selfishness leads to all sin. Think about whatever sin you can, even in your own life. It starts with selfishness. Sounds obvious, but we often miss it. In America, we tend to say, hey, God, here's my schedule. Here's my agenda. I can squeeze you in here and maybe there. Not always. We pull God out, or we turn to God only when it's convenient or there's a real tragedy going on. That's the Christian commitment today. I mean, really, in your church as well as mine, there are people know how to say it, what to say, how to act it, but when we get out there and the rubber truly meets the road, a lot of people have no personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you?
Reflecting back to last weekend, Palm Sunday, what was that all about? It all started out so good, and people were so excited. Here comes Jesus, who's going to give us the ultimate victory over the Romans. And when that didn't pan out, give us Barabbas. You know, a real committed faith is not swayed or blocked by our own personal trials and crisis. Oh, no. So what are you saying, Greg? I'm telling you, we are not unlike those people in the crowd in Jerusalem before or after. No, we're not. It was very trendy to be praising. Everyone was doing it. But at the trial, to speak out for Jesus was very risky. Could even cost you your life. And many of us come to Jesus expecting everything to get so good in life now that we're saved. Maybe some slight bad, but no, not too much of it. So when the bottom really falls out, and maybe that is happening to you today, we often ask God why, thinking that's not the way it's supposed to happen. You know, if our faith is based on situations and circumstances and we want them to be good, you know what? You're done. You will never be committed to God. You're going to have that casual faith. It will always be casual. Many times I'll just reflect back on our ministry, especially in evangelism, and we had some great meetings. Many pastors saying the best meetings ever in our church. Really? All size churches. We've been with thousands. We've been with a handful more than once. Packed out sometimes, standing room only, altars filling up, where the praises for God rock the entire arena. Everyone is praising God. We're so excited. You know, you get that in a lot of music today. You get keyed up emotionally. At the cross, we see the new America. When returning home while everyone is still glowing from worship, how often after the big event does things really go south on you? Can you do that in a world that is not praising? In fact, a world that is mocking and laughing and is often angry in this new America? At you. A committed faith, it's so important, takes the good with the bad, knowing that all we ever promised is in that midst of both good and bad. Jesus, remember it, never going to leave you, never going to forsake you. He will stand with you. How do I get there? Hey, you've got to have a committed faith. And that faith has to be Christ-centered and not self-centered. Seems so obvious, but we often miss it. Yep, Jesus first, that will always work. Remember one of President John F. Kennedy's most famous line from his inauguration? Ask not what your country can do for you, remember? Why isn't that applied to the church? Ask not what the church can do for you, but what you can do for the church. That is being Christ-centered. And we need a lot more of that in this new America. And finally, one thing I say a lot is things are not always as they seem. The rabbi, his wife, and children were really curious why the Gentiles liked pork. They decided to try some, but just nowhere in town they could go. But a weekend away, there's the opportunity. They went to a restaurant, they ordered pork. And while they were waiting for their food, a member of the rabbi's synagogue walked in. He sees the family and asks if he could join them for dinner. What are you going to say? A little while later, the waiter returns with the rabbi's meal. He takes the cover off, and there it is, a whole roast pig with an apple in its mouth. The synagogue member just was in shock. The rabbi quickly recovered. What a fancy place this is. Just look how they served that apple I ordered. you gotta be quick on your feet sometimes, right? That's it. Have a say for another day. Join me on Facebook, Greg Jerry G. Patton, P-A-T-T-E-N. Tell others about Hello World, and you listen, ask them to listen. Thanks so much.
And that's the way it is. Thursday, March the 28th, 2024. I am Greg Patton. God bless. Have a great day.